Hey, welcome to Christ United Methodist Church. No matter who you are or where you're at, whether you're up early or out late, we pray this message is right on time. Thanks for tuning in.
Hear this morning the gospel of Jesus Christ according to St. Luke, taken from chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. Eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." And one more verse beyond our reading this morning. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." Word of God for the people of God this morning. Please, please have a seat. Good morning to you. You didn't know I was here, did you? I could see you through this little crack down here. I knew you were out there. I could hear you sing. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. It's an honor to be up here in this high place. I'm guessing that most of us grew up, and probably still do, in a world of cartoon characters. I know for me it was Minnie and Mickey Mouse all the way up to Wonder Woman and Superman, and I'm not sure who the characters are these days. I don't recognize them. But if any of you visit and see stories and communicate with family on Facebook, then you may be familiar with a cartoon character named Maxine. Now Maxine is a young lady who's about my age, apparently. According to the cartoon, she's a bit on the bizarre side and doesn't know how to dress for public speaking. So about a week or so ago, when I started working to prepare for this morning, I noticed that Maxine, this cartoon character, had posted on Facebook a letter, a long letter, like it would have been three printed pages worth. But I was really drawn to it, and I thought, I need to share some of this on Sunday morning. So I'm going to read to you just a little bit of the letter from Maxine. It goes like this. "As we progress into the second half of 2019, I want to thank you for your educational emails and Facebook posts over the past year. I am totally screwed up now and have little chance of recovery. I can no longer open a bathroom door without using a paper towel. I cannot sit down on a hotel bedspread because I can only imagine, Eating a little snack sends me on a guilt trip because it reminds me of how many gallons of trans fats I have consumed over the years. And I must send my special thanks for the email about rat poo in the glue on envelopes, because now I have to use a wet sponge every envelope that I want to send. Now I have to scrub the top of every can I open for that same reason. I no longer drink Coca-Cola because I am told it can remove toilet stains. I no longer buy fuel in my car without taking someone along to watch the car so that a serial killer doesn't crawl in my back seat while I'm filling the tank. I no longer use cling wrap in the microwave because I'm told it causes 7 different types of cancer. I no longer go to the movies because I could be pricked by an infected needle when I sit down. I no longer go to shopping centers because someone just might drug me with a perfume sample and then rob me. I don't do any gardening anymore because I'm afraid I'll get bitten by the violin spider and my hand will fall off. Now that's a particular fear for me since I'm an arachnophobe. I don't know what a violin spider is. And the very last thing in the letter was this. Oh, and by the way, I have learned that my prayers only get answered if I forward this email to 7 of my friends and make a wish within 5 minutes. There. If it was God that wanted me to do that, I've done it. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, in this troubled and frightening world that we hardly recognize anymore, we long to hear your voice, to experience your presence, to be led safely through the daily battlefields of living, to know beyond doubt that we are yours and you are ours. Speak then, O Spirit of God, either through your servant or in spite of your servant, that we might know your will for our lives and find the courage to live it. Amen. 5 weeks ago, I had a birthday. I turned, whatever that means, 77. I understand that 77 is a perfect number according to Scripture. 6 weeks ago, I had another birthday. I turned 37. Just like that. 40 years had passed. It seemed like it was only a week. We like to drive sometimes Sunday afternoons after church over to Penn Alps, which is the other side of Grantsville a little bit. It's about midway between myself and my kids who live east of here, and have lunch. So some weeks ago, we drove down that way and had lunch with another older couple that I've known for a long time. It turned out to be my son and his wife. He doesn't like me much anymore because I have hair. Not much, but more than he's got. I keep telling my young adult friends who have little children and my young adult grandchildren who have little children, cherish every moment you have with them, even the most trying of moments, because day after tomorrow, they will be asking to borrow the car. Life on this planet is but a fleeting moment. How much, I wonder, is wasted time. And this morning we hear Jesus saying, this very night your life is being demanded of you. In this story that Luke tells us, Jesus has been traveling all around the land, doing wondrous things, healing the sick, raising the dead, teaching the true meaning of the scriptures to people who knew it well, they thought, proclaiming that God's kingdom was near, causing trouble with the powers that be, and drawing larger and larger crowds wherever he went who came just to catch a glimpse of, or maybe get to hear, or maybe even be touched by this controversial prophet. St. Luke's chapter 12 begins with the gathering of such a crowd. And Jesus is having a very serious conversation with his disciples. There's a growing sense of fear in this little group. They're getting close to Jerusalem, and the Passover is coming. And Jesus has been hinting in the other Gospels. Jesus has been very explicit about what's going to happen. He's been hinting in Luke's Gospel that he'll be killed, and they're all worried about their lives. If they kill Jesus, they'll probably try to kill us too. And after all, they have left everything to follow him. Their jobs, their homes, their spouses, their families, their communities, they had nothing but him, no security except him. So he tries to encourage them in the face of imminent danger, reminding them that God is the ultimate security, that God loves them, even knows the number of hairs on their heads, and that God's Spirit will guide them through all of their trials. Now, in the middle of this intense situation, someone interrupts Jesus to ask a personal favor, to settle a financial dispute with his brother. Now, I know it might seem very out of place to us, perhaps, but his request may have been legitimate. After all, he's asking someone for help who's obviously of divine authority. But it was clear to Jesus this man's heart and this man's life was focused on wealth and security rather than on matters of life and death. So to teach all of them and all of us, his followers and that stranger, Jesus tells this story. Story of a rich farmer, or a lucky farmer. The rich fool, according to God, who believed that his security was in his own preparing. Maybe he had worked hard for it. Maybe he just got lucky. Maybe he had a really good year for the garden. Either way, he was providing for his future, and yes, for his family's future, no doubt. He would have his social security, his pension, his investments, his barns full of supplies and food, so he could say to his soul, relax, eat, drink, be merry, don't worry. He had provided well for the security of his future. Now, security these days is a really big topic of discussion because we have invested so heavily in it. Our social security, we are told, is very much in jeopardy. Our national security costs untold fortunes and lives to maintain. Our homeland security is constantly being revised. Issues about border security divides our nations. Economic security really doesn't exist anymore. Personal security is something new for a lot of us, is a thing of the past. Even our identity is at risk. Although for $1,000 a week, you can buy an app for your telephone to prevent anybody from hacking. So we devote our lives trying to survive in a world where we're only visitors. And it would seem that the harder we work at it, the faster it slips through our fingers. There's an old saying that comes back to mind: have we foolishly put all our eggs in the wrong basket? Have we as a nation turned our back on God and then wondered why our society of law, our system of government, even our moral foundation for life together is increasingly more and more corrupt and insecure? And the more we invest in it, the faster it slips away. Have we, as the church in this age when the harvest is so ripe, have we been so focused on our survival, ignoring entirely something Jesus said that was, if you seek to save your life, You know the rest of that. You'll lose it. We've been so focused on survival that the harder we try, the more we're divided, and the faster it slips away. Have we, this little flock of disciples, like the disciples in the story, have we been so caught up in the fray, fearing everything, like Maxine, trying so hard to make ends meet, working so hard to plan for the future, that we have let go of the hand that leads us well beyond the future? Have we put all our eggs in the wrong basket? Have we been so foolish as to turn away from that that is permanent in favor of that that's temporary? And suddenly, as Jesus says, it's too late. Jesus says we should be rich toward God. Now, the first time I read this passage getting ready for today, my first reaction was, when I put my Bible down, was, how, Lord? How? How do we become rich toward God? What does that mean? What's the answer? Well, it seems, as the guy go back and read it again, Jesus kind of leaves us hanging there on the edge. He doesn't tell us how to be rich toward God, or does he? Maybe we already know the answer. So let's look for a moment at what God sees in us. Our motivation. Yes. Regardless of what we say or what we do, God knows what motivates us to do it. What do we want? And why do we want it? Is it security? Is it security? Is that what we want? Security, protection? From what? From whom? Is it comfort? Do we want comfort? Do we want to just eat, drink, and be merry? But comfort does not equate to peace of mind or contentment. What about power? Is it power that we want? It seems to be the drive for everybody on the planet, especially those who have power. Power over what? Each other? Power over sickness? Power even over death? What is it, power we want? How about purpose for life? I remember back in the hippie days, that was a big thing. Everybody wanted to know, why are we here? Why are we here? Really? What is our purpose? Or is it our purpose that we're looking to find out? Or is it God's purpose? Maybe, just maybe, we do already know. In the very next verse, Jesus says, don't worry about it. What did he say? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, your body, what you will wear. They're having fun. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Maybe it's all about our agenda. Do you all have agenda? Come on now, you have a list? I have a list on my phone. Somebody this morning at the early service said something about a honeydew list, and I said, my list is a lot worse than hers. And it changes every day. What about an agenda for living? Do we have an agenda for our day-to-day focus? What is our focus in life? You know, that driving force. This is what I want. This is where I'm going to go. This is what I have to do. What is our agenda? You know, I've said many times over the years, I don't know, as you get older, you start saying stuff like that. Through Jesus, God invites us into a relationship with the living God, a personal relationship with the Lord of life, not to a religion, but into a relationship, a day-to-day open relationship with the one who holds the power of life over death, who offers us promise of life, abundant and eternal, the one who really has a purpose for our living. And I believe there is security beyond comprehension in such a relationship with God, in this relationship that's bound by divine promises. It's guaranteed by Christ. It's sealed in his blood, and it's proved in his resurrection. And the wonder of all of that is that in spite of everything we did to him, he comes back to us with open arms, saying, look, yeah, I know this is what you did, but I love you. All that's required of us is trust. Trust. Trust his promises. Trust his actions. Trust his never-failing love. Trust his unconditional grace. Trust enough to reorganize our priorities. Change our agenda. Live into a new focus. An everyday focus on being God's beloved child. An everyday focus on deepening this sacred relationship that really is the supreme security for this life here and the life to come once we depart from here. I mean, what else could we ask? Well, and the question still lingers, how? How, Lord? Still, I think the answer is obvious. We start with conversation. What did I say it was? It's a relationship. Like any relationship, start with conversation. Talk. Listen. Talk some more. Learn to recognize the Master's voice. He already knows yours. Seek to know the Master's will. Invest yourself into it, your time, your devotion, your discipline. It's called prayer. It's not written liturgy. It's not memorized poetry, but not formal, carefully worded speech. It's conversation. If the living God among us is real, then we can have a real conversation. Not because we want it, but because God wants it. Personal conversation, truthful conversation, gut-wrenching, honest talk, the kind of conversation that does not come easily to us unless we make it our intentional focus. A new agenda. A new investment, not only just into our future, but into God's future. Maybe we know. Would you pray with me?
On behalf of all of us here at Christ Church, I want to thank you for hanging out and tuning in. Continue to check us out online, but better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday mornings, starting at 8:30 a.m. in the chapel, or 11 o'clock in our main sanctuary. Until then, may God bless you so that you can bless others.